Amén. So those 12 practices of being a Christian, which we've looked at over the last couple of years, all from the Acts of the Apostles, the early church. A church is a place where members worship and pray, read the Bible, share communion, eat together, give, share, serve, seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and seek to tell others, making disciples. And the strand that runs through all of this is healing, God's healing. Healing is what God does. Healing is his essence and purpose. Healing in God is there for you and me. God loves you and those you love through and through and wants you to be well. Churches are to be shining places of healing. Healing is to be evident in all that we do and all that we are. We rejoice in what is possible in God and will come to be in God. Healing of body, mind, spirit, relationships, creation. Hallelujah, the new heaven and the new earth is coming. And we experience echoes and see glimpses of that glory today in this life. So we'll see today how healing was central to Jesus and central to the early church. We will then consider how healing can be central to your life and to our church. Next week, as I said, the focus will be on healing and mental health. Today, more focus on healing of our bodies. In both weeks, we must include reflection on what healing means when there is chronic illness, disability, and premature death. We can have no truck with a triumphalism that ignores the physical and mental pain and anguish and restrictions that are borne by so many. But yet, I will encourage you in all situations to look to our glorious and majestic God and seek to know what healing means for you. I pray you will know, in the words of a great practitioner of healing ministry, Morris Maddox, Jesus Christ meeting you at your point of need. First then, see how healing was central to Jesus, his life, his ministry. In the reading from Luke's Gospel, we heard what has been called the Nazareth Manifesto. Early in Jesus' public ministry, he goes into his local synagogue and he's able to speak as a recognized teacher. You can see from the previous verses that in recent times he'd been going around Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, teaching in the synagogues. News had been spreading about him around the whole countryside and everyone praised him. Now Jesus takes the scroll that has Isaiah's glorious prophecy of the Messiah. The prophecy from Isaiah 62 that says the Messiah will be spirit-filled, bring release, freedom, healing, declaring now is the year of the Lord's favor. And extraordinarily, Jesus says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus comes pronouncing, inaugurating the kingdom of God, a place where God reigns and broken bodies, minds, spirits, relationships, creation itself are healed. The essence of the Nazareth Manifesto is essentially healing, healing, and healing. And Jesus immediately sets out to work on his manifesto. A little later, he's in the synagogue in Capernaum. He brings a man who's plagued by an evil spirit to peace. Later, Simon Peter's mother-in-law is cured of a high fever. All through the evening, people are brought to Jesus with various kinds of sickness. Jesus lays hands on each one and heals them. Demons come out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." And over the following 3 years of Jesus' public ministry, the Nazareth Manifesto is fulfilled. The blind see, the deaf hear, the oppressed are set free, the lame walk, lepers are restored, the dead are raised. Matthew's Gospel simply says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Healing is what God does. Healing is his essence and purpose. Healing is what Jesus does. Healing is his essence and purpose. And then Jesus works with his disciples to be agents of healing. Remember the sending out of the 72 disciples. Jesus tells them that when they enter a town and are welcomed, they are to heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. And they do. They heal the sick then and after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Jesus has told us, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. In fact, he says, he will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Healing then was central to Jesus, his life, his ministry. And healing was central to the early church. When St. Peter preaches about Jesus, yes, of course, he tells of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. But he also emphasizes that Jesus was a man accredited to God, by God to you, by miracles, wonders, and signs. It is not just belief in Jesus' life, death, resurrection that are crucial. It is recognizing what Jesus does. What Jesus does in healing, healing others, healing you. The first disciples, early church, know that the message telling of Jesus is empty without evidence. They pray, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And the evidence comes. Verse 12 of Acts 5, we're told the apostles perform many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And later, God did extraordinary miracles through St. Paul. Healing then was central to the early church, reflecting how healing is central to Jesus the Christ. And healing in Jesus the Christ then is to be central to our lives. I tread very carefully, but nonetheless boldly, in saying that in Jesus the Christ, we can pray for healing and clear physical healing does happen. This is the evidence of the early church and over the last two millennia. Today, there is so much documented evidence of prayer bringing healing. So much so that a doctor in America, Dr. Larry Dorsey, has asked, will we reach a point where physicians who ignore prayer will be found guilty of malpractice? Many of you here were with us to pray when our daughter Anna, on a gap year, was told after being airlifted to hospital in Australia with a virus in her spine, we don't think you're going to be able to walk again. Told by a neurosurgeon. When she did start to walk, the neurosurgeon told her, you won't be able to do your planned degree in dance. A few months later, Anna started her degree and now works in dance and Pilates. And then a few years later, and extraordinarily, another airlifting, many of you were here to pray when Anna's husband-to-be, Glyn, was airlifted off Leith Hill after a mountain bike accident, and we feared for his life. You know the happy outcome. So, of course, I want to say, let healing, prayer for healing, be central to your life. Let God know your concerns and fears. Pray in the name of Jesus the Christ for your healing. I recommend writing your prayers in a prayer journal. Look back in time and see what occurred. As Jenny and I are in our seventh decade, and Jenny's sitting here and wanting me to emphasize, that doesn't mean we're in our 70s. Our seventh decade means that we are into our 60s. But in this stage of life, we seem to not infrequently get aches and pains and odd symptoms. All of this goes in the prayer diary. And of course, it's not just physical healing we need, but also healing for our wounded souls and minds, as we'll see more of next week. All of this is to be brought to God, to Jesus the Christ, for healing. So I emphasize prayer for your healing because you can. But what about when the obvious miracle does not happen? When there's no physical evidence of healing? When illness and disability is chronic? When a loved one dies too young? First of all, we're to remember in this fallen world, often troublous life, that miracles are signs of the greater reality of the fullness of the kingdom of God beyond this life. Signs that point to Christ's compassion and mercy, that bear witness to the truth of Christ's claims about himself, that demonstrate the full healing that comes in the fulfillment of the kingdom of God, that illustrate on the physical plane what God wants to do for us spiritually, that bring people to repentance. Miracles are signs to a greater reality. They are not the norm in this current reality. Secondly, we're always to work with and give the very highest value to and invest in the medical sciences. There's a great passage in Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha that speaks of this. Honour physicians for their services, for the Lord created them, for their gift of healing comes from the Most High. The Lord created medicines out of the earth, and the sensible will not despise them. The fullness of the kingdom of God, where every disease and sickness will be healed, will come through God's providence, worked through in medical science. Miracles on their own will not bring this fulfillment, this fullness. They are signs that the fulfillment will come. As has long been recognized, working in medical practice, developing medical science, is amongst the very highest of vocations for a Christian, for the church. Thirdly, when the miracle doesn't happen, I hesitate to say this in my essentially good health and freedom from physical impairment, but I hold to the sure hope that in every situation of chronic illness, disability, and grief, God's grace, strength, love, and presence can yet be known. It's been moving over the last 15 months to hear people speak in our Zoom services of how they know God's presence in all circumstances. The Christian writer Margaret Lee was so disabled by throat cancer that she could not speak. She wrote down for visitors, "This is not the worst thing to happen. Cancer is so limited. It cannot cripple love, shatter hope, corrode faith, eat away peace, destroy confidence, kill friendship, shut out memories, silence courage, quench the spirit, or lessen the power of Jesus." The possibility of chronic, devastating illness yet being transfigured into a sense of glory. And fourthly, when the physical miracle does not occur, all can look forward to the day of resurrection, when we will be fully well in the Christ, when we will truly know that by his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Healing then is central to Jesus, the early church, and is to be central to our lives. We are to seek Jesus, the Christ, for healing, that he will meet us in our deepest need. And healing is to be central to the church here in Westcott. We're not just to proclaim the story of Jesus, but also show the evidence. Healing in our lives, prayer for healing being integral to what we do, our life together as church. And of course, this is true now. Every time we help one another to be whole in Christ, there is healing. In our prayers for one another, healing goes on informally in many ways in our church life. Every Sunday, we have our list of all those we intercede for. And it is always moving how grateful people are to know that they or a loved one are prayed for in this way. And over the years, there have been numerous cases where people on our Sunday prayer list have been told by their consultant, "I can't explain what's happened in your healing." The word miracle has been used on more than one occasion. There is much then that shows that healing is central to our church. But to be honest, there could be more. We could raise our expectations about what God can do in our lives. See again the passage we heard from James. "Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven." Clear expectation that God will act, will heal. Those of you that have been to the New Wine Festival will know how prayer for healing with high expectation of what God can do is integral to the Christian faith celebrated at the festival. Could something like this focus be more a part of the church in Westcott? We could explicitly make healing central to our mission, like Jesus, like the 72 disciples who were sent out, like the early church. How we do this probably needs working through, ironically, after post-COVID restrictions are lifted. But of course, our ministry of healing, whilst holding to the power of Jesus, the church will also need to hold to the limitations we experience in this life, the physical and mental pain and anguish and restrictions that are borne by many. But I say again, healing is what God does. Healing is his essence and purpose. Healing in God is there for you and me. God loves you. He wants you to be well. Churches should be shining places of healing. Healing should be evident in all that we do and all that we are. Amen.